great thing is worthy. He is doing great things. How great! He is doing great things. Bless his holy name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again. Father, for this opportunity that we have to gather together. This opportunity to come and worship you, adore you. Father, we thank you because this is the only place I'd rather be today, Father. With the purchased blood, with the saints, Father, those that you have redeemed tonight. Father, we thank you for those that are here and those that are streaming for some reason, they're sick or tired, or those that are on vacation, those that are, whatever reason they are, we ask your blessing upon them as well, and they're listening at this service, that your blessing fall upon them just as well and meet their needs. Thank you, Father. Just like we were singing, you, we are thirsty, we are hungry, and you are the water, and we want to get into that water of the word and just draw out some life, draw out whatever we had need tonight. Sure. Just like Moses stroked that rock, and that multitude of people that was thirsty and hungry, and they were satisfied. Satisfy us, our hearts, this tonight, Father, because you are the only one can do that. No one else can satisfy me but you, Father. We come, Father, and we make you welcome. Forgive us of our mistakes, errors, choices, bad ones, good ones, indifferent ones sometimes. Father, our desire is to do your will. Forgive us where we have faltered. Father, bless this service. Bless each one that are here and those that are listening. Father, we ask you tonight to make yourself real to us. Because we are not serving a God of history or the future, but it is a God that is here tonight. It is present, and it's a real right now. Make yourself real to us. Yes. Father, we commend everything to you. Father, we're going to set ourselves aside.
Yes, Lord.
Have your way.
Yes.
Not only in this pulpit, Lord, but in the audience out there, Father.
Right.
We love you and we thank you. And we ask you all these things in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Can we read from the scriptures in Genesis? We start with Genesis before we sit down. We greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has been so good to us. I had a full-blown cold last week. I still have the residues now. I still have a little cough. And so if I start coughing, don't get scared of you. I already went and got myself checked, make sure it wasn't COVID, so it was negative. So just you know, that annoying last call that don't want to get out. So I missed a Wednesday service, and then I was going to come, ready to come on Sunday morning. And I was all dressed up, and my wife, we got in the car, and the car won't start. So I tried to jump it, I tried to kick it, I tried to do everything that I knew how to do it. And it wouldn't start. I got a friend to help me jump it. So I just went in the house, took my clothes, you know, I mean, church clothes, and put my regular clothes and streamed the service. So anyway, Monday, I decided then I'd work on it all day long. So I did as much as I could. And I could not get to the solution of the problem, but I kind of disqualified a lot of things down the line. So I figured the only thing that was missing to check was the alternator. The starter. I checked everything else, switches and fuses and relays and, you know, the whole work all the way down. I even got a new battery. So anyway, finally got to the, called my brother-in-law. He sees the family mechanic, and he's been doing my car for years. And I said, you need to come and check this because I'm not going to get under the car, you know. And unplug things and, you know, check things. I leave that to you anyway. So he came and checked out, and he said, yeah, sure, that's what it is. You are tornado. So he came today and changed it all, and I'm back on the road again, moving again. But thank God, for because we don't know but what things happen, but it do happen, right? But I'm glad that we have a God that is faithful to his word, you know? So we thank God that we are here tonight. So I don't know if you missed me for two or three services, but neither here or there. I miss you, though. I miss you. Amen. Miss your smiles, even if you cannot look straight at me. No, I know, because sister woman. But I know she's not trying to avoid me. She's just smiling. Anyway. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. And this is not new to you guys. This is probably all scriptures, but all scriptures mean something in due season. It says, and flesh of my flesh, and wow, I'm missing some part over here on my. And show, can you put, yeah, what happened there? Hey, I've been sick. I wasn't all there this week, so sorry. Yeah, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. So let's go to Ephesians 5, see if I got that right. It says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's the second Adam. The first Adam said the same thing. The second Adam said the same thing. Say, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. And they too shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. And that's what I want to talk to you about, the great mystery that is not a mystery any longer. So the secret of this mystery, I call it dualism. Dual, like two-ism. That is the title of this sermon. I don't know if that was weird or too sophisticated, but that's what I came up with. Dualism, dual. This is the mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Amen. You can be seated. So we're talking about dualism, duality, you know, two. I don't know if you know, but you probably know, in the Chinese philosophy, they have something called the yin yang. And it's a concept of dualism, actually. It is a concept that describes, obviously, two things that are opposite to each other. I don't know if you have seen the symbol of it, but you can Google it whenever you have some time, you know. I didn't want to put it on the screen so people don't get idea that we're trying to, you know, preaching a strange doctrines, Chinese doctrines, but. So I didn't want to do that much. So, and this means that these two forces, and we know that. This might be new for the Chinese, but from the beginning, you know, God already talks about dualism and the forces of evil and the forces of good. So in the yin yang, you have a black and a white, you know. So two forces. And sometimes these forces are complementary to each other, you know. And sometimes they're not. Sometimes they just act independently from each other. But one thing is for sure, God uses, you know, the evil force to do his work. So in that sense, it's complementary. Satan don't know it. But God is using the mess he make and turn it to be good to us. Whatever he wants to do against us, God will change it for good, for our own purpose, for our own benefit. Yeah. So that is complementary to us, even though, you know, we don't like sometimes what he do to us. But it's part of God's plan, see? He's the rod that God uses, you know? But he don't know that. He think he's doing his thing. But actually, he's helping you and me to become, I mean, if he knew that, he would stop, actually. If I was him, and I knew that, I would stop. And that's what happened in Calvary. If he knew that Christ was the Christ, the Son of God, he would not put him on that cross. Because, you know, he was going to be lost. He loses. So, but my brother Doug was saying, he don't know. He don't know. He can see everything. He don't know everything. So that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, this principle this concept of duality. Now, number two, every number has a meaning in the Bible. We call it numerology. And every number has a significance. 7, completion. 3, perfection. 1, God. 2, is symbolized duality of man, actually. It consists of both spirits, as Paul says over here in Galatians 5:16-18. I don't have it here, brother. If you want to put it on the screen, Brother Andy, because I just threw this one. That's me not. It consists of both spirits. Galatians says 5:16. Paul said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Amen. Why? Because the flesh is enmity against the Spirit. Sure. So that's your duality. See, and Paul expresses it that way, that man is made that way, flesh and spirit. You carry both of them in you. So we are a dual kind of a personalities. Now, like I said, number two represents also union of two people, you know, a marriage, two becoming one. And also it represents what we call when someone is giving a testimony or witness. It takes two. You know, the Bible said, in the mouth of two or three, let my word be established. So two also represent testimony. That's all we need, two people that agree. Right. And that's what the Bible said. If two of you can agree,
yeah. Right.
Okay, so it's dualism. And the word, and that word and that number is right through the Bible. So we are not preaching something that is out of the, you know, somewhere, some book. So this is what Brother Branham said in Corinthians book of Corinthians. Now, in the beginning, the word one. God, when he made man, he made him a dual. So here, I'm not telling you some strange doctrine. That's what Brother Branham says. Amen. A dual person. So you are, and I am a dual person. It says, male and female. He says, he separated them, right? After separated Adam, he says, separated him in the flesh. I put him here on the earth, in flesh. And then the female part was still in him. Because he made the spirit. In the spirit realm, he made Adam and Eve, spirit. Amen. That's what the Bible said, let us make man into our own image. Because God is a spirit. So the first Adam was made in the image of God, that is a spirit. Amen. Not flesh, a spirit. So in the spirit realm, you are just like God. Okay, we're going to get that sooner or later. He put him here in the earth. And then, look, friend, God was careful. I'm glad that God was careful, because some of us are not that careful. But he's careful. He said, oh, how? This, don't let this lead you. Okay? God never got a handful of dust and made an Eve. She had been different from the creation if he would have done that. See, the creation was ended. God was not going to go and create after he finished creating. So she was not a creation. Or he didn't do another part of the creation. She's not a creation. She's a byproduct. And God goes over in the heart. Now, keep this in mind. In the heart of Adam. Now, I know you heard in the rib, but it's the rib. But through the rib, you go to the heart. Yeah, that's what it was, close to his heart. The rib, right out from under his heart. He says, and he take a rib and make a wife. And the very part of Adam's spirit was into the woman. And they two are one, soul, body, spirit. They are one. They are perfect ones. A real woman, a real husband, a real wife. They are one together. That's the mystery. The natural, the spiritual. Now, what is this type of? Well, that was the first Adam. The type is Christ from out of his bosom, he says, not a byproduct, he says, not a Methodist, not a Baptist or a Pentecostal, he said, hush up, No, sir. But out of his own heart. Here we go again. Out of the heart of Adam. Out of the heart of the second Adam. He says, he took a sweetheart that he was pure and loyal, and she can be as she can be. She is as loyal as a lily. Look. And Brother Branham continues in Jehovah Jireh. He says, but God what? Separated. He cut. Just like he did with Adam. See, the body, the bride of Christ. See, took the spirit in Calvary from the side. She was born. Took her from there and made a body, called the bride, and put that spirit in that body. The same thing as Adam did when God took his spirit and put it in a body called Eve. He says, it has to come right back to the first. Now Eve was going back to the first. What was the first? With the first, there were one to begin with. Amen. God separated, and it becomes two. In the beginning, they were two, but they were joined together. They were together. God called them, Adam. So that was the theophany body, okay? The spiritual body, the celestial body that was created before. Then God pulls one spirit in Adam, takes the other spirit, and put it in Eve. They become two. God separate. Now, this is a good lesson for us. Because you and I should not separate anybody. I don't care if they believe like us or not. It has nothing to do with believing you, what you said, or you said going to the same church or not. Listen, you are not the one that doing the separation. It is the word of God. It is God that will do the separation. Like he did in the beginning. So, it is same. Now, it's interesting here. When I was studying this, it says, they became soul, body, and spirit. So in the beginning, when they were made, there were two in Adam, and they were a celestial body. There was spirit body, because God is a spirit. They were spirit. But when he puts them in a body, and then he creates a soul. It was no soul yet here, just the celestial body. And I kept asking, why do you have to create a soul? I understand creating a body from the dirt and putting the spirit, you know, the body and the spirit. But what about the soul? What is the soul? What part do this soul plays in here? Okay, that's what I want to find out too. They are perfect in one. Okay, so brother, continue 140. What is the type of Christ? And then I was talking to you about God separated the body and created body, soul, and spirit. Now, let me tell you what a soul is, because I was kind of trying to figure out why God has to make a soul. He says, I got this definition. I want you to read it with me. The soul. Now, let me get to the E. The seed of the appetite. Your soul is the seed of your appetite. Your desires. It is the seed of the emotions and passions. Not your head, not your spirit, in your soul. It says activity of the mind. The mind thinks a lot, but the heart is the one that activates those things. Because if Satan come and tempt you, and he tempt your mind and put things in your mind, as long as you don't, you resist and don't, you know, dwell in that or make it come to pass, see? But it is right here. Activity of the what? So that means who you are actually is there in the soul. This is not who I am. The real me, the inward man of me is in the soul. And how do you know? But the way I act tells you who I am. Who is talking to you? It is Eli, the flesh, or it is the inward man that is the Spirit of God to begin with. We're going to get into them in a minute. I'm not trying to get deep into anything. I will get out. Don't worry about it. So, the soul, and the soul is where you have all your feelings. That's why your life and my life has to be changed. Because when we were out in the world, who used to control that part?
Satan took care of your passion, took care of your desire, who took care of your character. And he did with you and me whatever he wanted to. We didn't want to do it, but we had the wrong desires to begin with. To drink, to drugs, to dance, to do this, to do that. Lost. But who was in control of your desires? Of the flesh? Satan. So God had to change that. So the reason he made a soul, because he knew man was going to fall. That was all in his plan. In his plan of redemption. But God needed a place that he can go in and connect with man all over again. Because once he lost his fellowship with God, he lost the connection. But God, we're not going to leave him without a connection. In the beginning, the connection was the Spirit of God. Adam was a God. See, he needed to be, when God made him with a soul. But the soul in this case, in Adam, didn't matter because he was the Spirit of God controlling him all throughout, just like Christ. See? So, God don't need it to have other way of controlling Adam, but his word and his spirit, just like Christ. So here, in Luke 1:46, the Bible said, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. When you come to church, you don't magnify the Lord through your mind. That is intellectualism. You don't come to church, you know, bring your mind. You bring your heart. And in your heart is where things emanate. Things come forward. When God, and we start praising God, your heart start being moved. You know, God will touch your heart, and then something comes out. But it's not, you know, you don't sit down there, well, let me see if I like that, I don't like that. Should I say amen? Well, let me think. No. There's no thinking. In the heart, there's no thinking. It's just something that emanates from you. In Matthew 26:18, and said he unto me, my soul is, that's Christ, exceedingly. That's where your feelings are. Your feelings are not in your head. Your feelings are in your heart. And the only difference is who is controlling your heart. That's the whole thing here. Because it can be used for good, it can be used for bad. Says, exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. In Luke 2:35, yeah, a sword shall pierce thy own soul also, that the thought of many hearts may be revealed. See, the thoughts of your heart are revealed. You know, the word we go like a sword, and go into your heart, even deeper than your heart, to the bones, and can discern. I don't need to discern your brains. There's nothing up there, so you're going to look at mine. In this, I hate to call it business, I don't need your brain. God don't need your brains. I don't need my thought, and I don't need your thought. In fact, might as well just leave him out the door. Throw him out, because here, I cannot use him. God cannot use him. God can use what is in your heart. And we're gonna get to that line of talking tonight. Dual personalities. So we are dual personalities. John 8:18. Wait a minute, I got to keep this steady. I am one that bear witness of myself. He said, and the Father that sent me bear witness of me. See, both, he and the Father, they were testimony that the word he spoke was true. But it takes two, because man is made that way. It's dual, you know? So what happened here, Jesus is saying, you know, I don't do anything on my own. My brain is out. He don't have to think. What I do is because my Father shows me what I need to do. See, that is harmonious. That is a union when they both agree. Not this one, when the heart and the confession will agree. Because he says, whatever I do, whatever I said, is vindicated because that is the truth. And God that is in me, that show me what to say will vindicate that as well. Now, the same thing with you and me. I don't have to think anything. When God pricks my heart, you know, I'm in service, and that's why you're in this service. Don't waste time. When God prick your heart during preaching, you know, your mouth goes, amen. Yes. Not your brain. Your brain don't even know what's going on. It is your heart that God is dealing with. It is your soul that God is dealing with. So don't waste your time. Don't refrain. Some people are like, I don't want to get too emotional, or I don't want nobody to see me, or whatever reason. You clamp down. Poop. You know, when God visits you, you know, don't miss your day of visitation. I mean, right now, when God pricks your heart through the preaching of the word, that's not me. It's not a lie. I can do nothing. But God, through his word, he can touch your heart and meet your need. And you know what? Your brain don't say yes. Your confession is yes. They have to agree. Your confession and your heart has to agree. Not your mind. Forget about your mind. I'm telling you, throw it out. It don't count for anything here. Only what you feel and you said to that, amen. That's all. You don't have to think about it. Now, listen to what Brother Brown says. He says, let us see God. He was more than God was in him. He was a man, but he was a dual person. If he was a dual person, we are dual persons. One, he was a man, and the spirit in him was what? God. I am Eli, I am a man, but I got a spirit in me. That is the spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit came into my heart. Okay, and he came to do one thing and one thing only, so he can control me, because before I had someone else controlling me, controlling my desires, my emotion, my feeling, and blah, blah, blah. Now, that's no longer. He says, Christ, he says, one was man, the spirit of man, and was God. Now, Christ seemed to be a dual personality, not bipolar, a dual personality. He would speak sometimes, and they scratched their heads, and they did not understand him. See? He speak one thing at one time, and look like, and sometime else, another time. What was Jesus speaking? Now, pay attention. He didn't say that was God speaking. That was the man, Jesus, speaking. And then Christ speak. Now, Jesus is the man. Christ is the unction. So, that's duality. There's two people there. Or two entities. Or two spirits. He says, then sometime else, another time. What was Jesus speaking and then Christ speaking? Jesus was the man. Christ was God that was in him. Not me that does the work, but my Father that dwells in me. He is the one that do the work. Because the man Jesus cannot do the work. You are the man, and I'm the man Eli can do the work. For more than I like to do, I can do nothing. Why? Because God don't share his glory with any man. This is all God doing. And anyway, I don't have what it takes to bring about whatever God do. I'm limited. God is infinite. We are finite. So God was finite too. In his flesh. Why? Because they said to him one time, Master, good master. And he said, oh, there's no one good. There's no flesh that is good, even Christ's flesh. The only one good is who? God, the Spirit. So Jesus spoke, and God spoke, and Christ spoke, and that's duality. What made the difference is when the confession of Jesus line up with the confession that comes out of his heart from the Spirit of God. When those things line up, when God said, this is what it is, and the mouth says, yes, then you can have it. Right. I'm going to get there, because that's where I'm going. See, some of you want to find out how God speaks to you, how God do things. God speaks to your heart. Yes. And when God speaks to your heart, your mouth has to say, yes. Let it be so. It is not by works. It is not how much you pay. It is not how much you jump. It is not how much you do. It is, you got to believe in your heart. What comes out of that heart, you said, yes, Lord, do it unto me as you just said it. Bypass the mind, shore out the mind, forget about the mind, because when that happens, you can ask whatever you want and it shall be given to you. But you have to hear the little voice first. But I don't know. I know I'm safe. I know he called me. I know I'm one of them. Show me. I can. You know, sometimes I do stupid things. Tonto, sometimes, you know. Tonto means stupid in Spanish. Not tonto. That was with the Lone Ranger. Now, you know, some of you young people, but actually, let me get away from politics, but that's what it is anyway. So anyway, and I'm so mad at myself. You know, I'm so angry. I just don't want to go on. I just said, stupid. Why do I have to do this again? Why are we doing that? I mean, but something in me, I don't know how it works, but something way in here won't let me go. I want to quit. It won't let me go. He says, there's no quitting. You know, either you move forward, get up and move forward. And I know that something in me, and I cannot explain to you, is what's keeping me. Even when I make a stupid mistake, there's something in me that said, get up, move on. Because if it was up to me, Brother Salina, I would have already quit. But something in here says, continue, move on, move on. What it was Jesus speaking. Christ was a God that was in him. Now, Brother Brown said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, Jesus, 24 verse, 34 verse. Jesus answered him, it is not written in your law, nowhere, not here, herself being the Son of God, yet said, I said, see, the personal pronoun, I said, you are gods. You yourself are gods. It is written in your laws, what I said, you are gods. Back to God again. See? They could not understand. One time it was God speaking. Next time it was Jesus speaking. And he was a dual personality. I want to hear something right quick here. People think that Brother Branham made a mistake. People think that the message is infallible, that Brother Branham was infallible, and everything that he said was infallible. That said, and it's not. Because Jesus didn't. See, sometimes Brother Branham, the man, spoke. But sometimes God spoke through him. The thing is, some people could not discern who was talking. So instead of deciding, you know, take the God, no, they decided, well, that was a man. But yes, you have to be careful, because not everything that Brother Branham said was God, infallible. For example, you know, he talks about, you know, eating apple pie, and you know, I like apple pie, and we like, you know, cherry pie, but see, just because Brother Branham likes apple pie, I'm not going to change my diet just to line up with his confession, because he's in, you know, that's what he said, that's what we do. No, that was the man talking. That was the man talking. And I can't discern that. See? And Jesus was the same way. Jesus was talking. And you say, when? Well, when he was almost in Gethsemane and he's praying. Now, the man Jesus, the man says, the flesh says, can we do this a different way? But what is the Spirit of God said? Right. And what did he respond? Right. Let it be that way. When those two line up, but when it's my head, my intellect, my reason, my logic, we never line up with the Word of God. Right. Satan shows the mind. God shows the heart. The marriage of the Lamb. Now, look, it is so perfect that when God took and made a man, and to show that he did not want it out of anything different, the woman was not in the original creations. She is not in the creation, but she was part of Adam. She was a byproduct, he says. He goes into the side of Adam to make another creature. Not to make another creature, but taking a part of the creature and make another creature out of it. He says, and he took the masculine spirit that was in Adam, and he took the feminine spirit that was in Adam, rather, and put it over the woman. So both spirit and body, they become one. Why do they become one? Well, it's simple. I mean, this is not complicated. Adam was made in his theophany spirit one. There were two spirits in one body, in one celestial body, right? God separated them, but they're still one. They just separated. But then Brother Van says, but then we need to go back. To go back to what? To the unity. That is where God is looking. God has separated, but God is looking back to bring us back to what? To the same thing, to the unity. To be united back with him as we were in the beginning. See? So, he says, was a beautiful type to what God did in covering. He took Christ and connected him with the church through a riven sign. He brought the blood that cleansed the person, that sanctified the flesh of the church, and put the spirit of the living God that he took of the cross there out of Christ and put it into the individuals. See? Then they are one. They became one. Christ and you are one. Amen. Christ and you, Christ and me, Christ and the body, the bride is one, not two. Now, Romans 10:8 says, but what we said, the word is nigh to thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith that we which we preach. See, the word is near to you, to you, as close as your mouth, he says. That is the message concerning the faith that we proclaim in this message. See, the faith that was delivered. Now, this is interesting. I bring this because I was telling you that your heart and your confession has to agree. Not your mind. Forget about your mind. Tonight, your heart and your confession has to agree. If you make a confession based on what is happening in your heart. If you are son of God, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you will say yes. When he came to you and shows you, he know you was going to say yes. You know why? Because that little thing was in your heart and your soul. It was a seed. And you say yes because you was part of him. There's no way. I didn't even have to think about it, Sister Emma. I didn't even have to give, let me go and study this. Let me ask so-and-so and Dr. So-and-so. Let me find out if this is true. I'm not following a cult. I don't know how it happened, Brother John, but when he came and says to me, it came into my heart. I don't know. I didn't think about it. I just said yes. Amen. That's all I did. Why? Because that spirit and my confession, the heart and my mouth, my confession, is coming together. I'm getting somewhere. Don't worry. We get it all figured out at the end. See? Now, listen what Brother Brown says. Listen. Fellowship. Listen. I tell you a little secret in a few minutes. I like secrets. You like secrets? Not gossip. Secrets. Anyway. A few minutes about divine healing and about things. First thing, friend, is the preparation of the human heart. Before you came to this service, I didn't need you to prepare your mind. In fact, I told you, leave your mind outside. Amen. But you need to prepare your heart when you come to service. Because there is where God will speak to you, right. Not to your brain. Right. See, this guy don't know what's going on. That's what they got confused. It was Jesus man or Jesus or Christ talking to me. See, we are not confused. We are not confused people. We know who's talking. See, he says, preparation of the human heart. Yes, sir. So he's going to say, I'm going to give you a secret later on about healing. But first, things first, your heart. Prepare your heart. So when you came to service, it's the first thing you want to do before you come to the door. Prepare your heart. Here, a few days ago, I was up in Chicago where all science used to say, man thinks with his heart. Nonsense. The Bible is wrong. there's no mental facility in the heart to think with. See, man thinks with his head, with his mind. But now they find out God was right. See, man does think with his head. His mind, he is a dual personality. Look, person in here first, intellectual person here first, the flesh, intellectual. But they say that in the human heart is a little animal heart. It's not an animal heart. It's not any other heart, but a right. But right in the human heart is a little compartment in the middle of the human heart that doesn't even have a blood cell, but is the occupation of the what? The soul. You want to know where your soul is at? That's where your soul is at, in your heart, because your soul is the seed of the Spirit. It is the seed of who you are. The way you think, not with your mind, the way you do things comes out of your heart. From the heart comes out, you know. What a man thinks in his heart, that's who he is. So not what you think in your brains or in your heart, but what you think here. It says, so man really thinks with his heart and not with his head. That's what I told you. We don't need our heads because we don't need them. I only need my heart when I came to church. That's why we have problem, because people bring the heart and the head. Right. Leave your head out there. We don't need them. Because the head is going to be contrary enmity against the heart anyway. We don't need it. That's the flesh. When you come to service, get rid of the head. Make everything new. Get prayed up and leave the head out there. Your reasons, your comments, your inputs, your opinion, your thoughts. We don't want them. Because it can get you nowhere. And if you bring them to church, you're going to be fighting all night against you and against your intellect and your heart. You ain't going to get anything out of that. It's going to be a whole fight all night. Then everybody gets affected. He says, Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth. Here goes again, Paul. He understood the process. You don't believe with your mind. You believe with your heart. Right. But wait, how? Your heart. That's how you think. This is what psychology says. When you see something or somebody, I don't care what it is, the way you perceive things is not with your mind. It is with your heart. When you look at something, the way you decide what it is whatever your heart it tells you, according to your experiences, to who you are, what you did, your experience, and all that make you. And that is the thing that you run all your thoughts through, that come through your mind. You're not perceiving people with your mind. You perceive people the way you think, the way you believe, the way you act. That is you there. Not here. This is not you. You is here. So the way you perceive things is the way you think about things. I mean, the world has enough time to condition you to be worldly. When you look at things the way they are, then they look good. Why? Because you're not looking with your mind. You're looking with who you are, the way you are shaped, the way you are made. That's how you look at things. You perceive things with your heart, not with your mind. That's why sometimes we tell you not to, you know, judge a book by the cover. And Brother Bana said it the different way. He says, don't judge a man by his, you know, what he looks like, by his appearance, by the flesh. Joshua, by his, what comes out of the man is who he is. That's what he's telling you, but what comes out of his heart. So here, Paul says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and when the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, God pricked your heart. You know, I remember when I was lost and undone, I was desperate. I was at the end of my road. And God came and pricked my heart. And then what happened? I made a confession. Yes, Lord. Yes. I take you. I take you at your word. See? So what Paul is saying, it takes your heart and your confession only. Now, let me tell you how this is going to continue working, see? Because in your heart is what you believe. See, you are justified. That's why you are justified in your heart. See, and with your mouth you profess the faith. Now listen to what Brother Brown said. There is no mental facilities in the leader being called heart. You cannot think with your heart. The Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You cannot think with your heart. You cannot, because there's nothing mentally in there to think with. Now, Jesus wasn't speaking of the physical being. He was speaking of the supernatural being that is in your heart. See, it is not the pump he's talking about, but it's the God, the Holy Spirit that is in your heart doing the thinking for you. So you don't have to think anymore. You just ask him what it is you need to have, and he will tell you. You need healing. Whatever you have on need, you need a word. You ask him, because he is in your heart, and he can talk to you. How? He pricks your heart, you know? And you say, yes, Lord. See? You don't have to think things over. Worry, you know, about things. Just let all that go. And let God do what he do best. He says, so we're not talking about a pump that pump blood. We're talking about something in that little hole that says no blood, that the soul is, that's where God is. And through that, he talks to you that you don't even understand why. That's why sometimes people ask you, show me. I can. Did you hear a voice? I don't know. I think I did. But how do you? I don't know. I cannot prove it to you. But I know one thing. It's a deep calling the deep. I mean, I don't know how it works. But I know that I know that I know that I know that he talked to me. Well, how did you hear a voice? No. But something in here says, yes. And I said, yes. That's all I know. How can you prove that to someone? I believe the word become flesh, Indian trip. I wanted to listen at that. If you can, listen at that tape. I believe it is on this road. I believe it is on its road now. Brevan says, this that I've been preaching all this time, you know, he's talking about the spoken word and this and God making flesh, the bride is Jesus. And all the stuff that he was speaking about, he says, it's on the road. And this was what, in 54? It's on the road. That when the church will be so wrapped in Christ and the Holy Spirit, mankind, so away from themselves. See, it is going to come a time that we will be so wrapped up that your mind will be all gone by then. And when that happens, you're not going to see Eli anymore. And I'm talking before the rapture. If it's after the rapture, forget that we missed it. This had to happen in this inside. He says, is this going to come the time mankind so away from their self, from the flesh, from the mind, away from yourself, so far away from yourself that they do not see themselves anymore. Yeah. As long as I'm still seeing my flesh, as long as I'm still fighting my flesh, as long as I'm still looking at my intellect, my logic, my reasoning, I'm not looking at what I'm supposed to be looking, it's what he said that I am, not what I think I am. Because what I think I am don't worth anything to me anyway. So one of these days, when I get away from myself, completely away from myself, he says, they don't have no blank, but to serve God. That will be the only purpose. That will be the only. That will be the only thing, the only desire. When we get far away from this flesh and them thoughts and intellectual things, so you will not see Eli anymore talking. Eli the man won't talk to you anymore. Somebody else will talk to you, because that's what I want. If that's what you want, it has to happen here. Before the rapture, there will be a people. That it will be Jesus in that bride. There will be the manifestations of the sons of God, not the manifestations of Eli the flesh. The flesh is not going to make it. It's condemned. This is going to stay. But something in me, the real inward me, the spirit, Eli, is going to make it. But it says over here, when we get to that point, now I'm bringing you this because we've been talking about maturity. How far are we from the goal? Well, measure yourself how far, the more you, the less of him. So it's less of you and more him. So, you know when your tank in your car is halfway, right? And you know what is full. You have a little gauge. Well, examine your life. The Bible is your gauge. Examine. Where are you? Where are we tonight? Are we doing or getting rid of ourselves, or are we still trying to drag ourselves? You know, when I come to church, that's why we come to church, Brother JJ. Because the word is what do a separation between your flesh, my flesh, and the spirit that is in here. God wants to do the separation. And the word comes, we come to church, and the word should go out there and cut that God is not desirable of us, that fleshy stuff, God wants to cut. And every time you come to church, and every time you read the Bible, and every time you pray, something should happen, a little bit of you should die.
Yes, amen.
Less of you. Every time you come to church, it should be less of you and more of him. So just get yourself. I had to get myself too. I got upset. I get upset. That's Eli. I don't sin, but I get upset. And I didn't even like that. So the boys, you know, Elliot and Aaron, they were playing out there in the bag and jumping in the trampoline. And I was watching them. It was my turn to watch them while the mom and daddy were relaxing. You know, so I can have a time without the kids. So Aaron, you know, but Aaron is the Spanish version of Aaron. I go to the store. I go to pick him up to school the other day, and I tell the teacher or assistant, hey, I came to pick up Aaron. She look at me. Who? Aaron. Let me see. We don't have one of those. What you mean you don't have Aaron? See? And she says, Aaron. Oh, yeah, we got one of those. But that's the same thing. That's my Spanish version, and that's your English version. You should know she was Hispanic. Well, she thought she was Hispanic. But I call him Aaron. It's easier for me than Aaron. I mean, English is so Aaron, you know. Aaron sounds more masculine, right? Heavy. Aaron. Not Aaron. Anyway, so I went to get him, and I was telling you that I called him around. So I went in the back, and I'm watching them, and they're hitting each other with a baseball bat, what is it, plastic at least, and they throwing balls at themselves, and I'm over here, stop. Then they scream. I said, but stop hitting each other, you know, dying. Then they take the balls and throw it to the next door house, and then Elliot said, don't talk to Papa no more. He's crabbish right now. No, and it was true. I kind of a little bit lost it. That was Eli, the flesh. I kind of lost it. And I said, if you do that again, I'm going to cut your arms off. That's what Elliot said. I wasn't going to cut their arm, but you know, that's. Kids don't know that. My wife told Isabel one time, you know, you look so good, I want to eat your kisses with my kisses. And she said, please don't, Nana, don't eat me. You know, but that's the flesh. But see, I understand. Then I started thinking, you know, it wasn't right. Actually, they're just kids. They're just boys. And he didn't mean to throw the ball. I guess he threw it so hard. He has a good arm. He threw it so hard, he went to the other side. But I said, you know, I shouldn't be acting that way. I shouldn't let things like that get me out of my, you know, of me. So, but that's flesh. See? That's just flesh. And I said that I was sinning, but all that stuff has to die. Yeah, when your wife pushed the wrong button and you react, well, that's Eli, flesh. That's not the unction, the presence of God in me. That wasn't. That was me. But that's what I'm saying. Things have to die. You know yourself, and I know myself. You know what things you need to die out to. But the more you die, the more he can fill you with that life. And then until we get to the point when no longer we are ourselves. It's gone. So you're going to ask me, what is Eli? And I'm going to say, who is Eli? Eli who? That day will come. Because I want to get rid of this guy. Your job, your responsibility is not to overcome me. Your responsibility is to overcome you. And I overcome me. And then we can come to me and be the one in Christ Jesus. But don't try to overcome me, because that's not, God did not put you here to do that. But he puts you here to overcome yourselves. He says, they refuse to think of the world. Are we there? I'm not saying that going to work every day and having a business and whatever you do is a sin. I mean, they're talking about the things of the world. You know what they are? I don't have to mention it to you. He said the things of the world. They just move in the spirit, live in the spirit, move in the spirit, walk in the spirit, and fulfill the law of Christ in the spirit, in your flesh. Are we there? That's my question. Then the love of Christ in the human heart moving in the Holy Ghost. That great, wonderful church will go forward with the power, the deity, because deity will be revealed in human beings by the Holy Spirit bringing it to pass. The what? Bringing to pass what? The thoughts of who? Of their minds. Your mind, my mind. It is God in flesh talking through you, through me. Bringing his mind, bringing the thought of his mind and materializing them. That is the day when we have a spoken word, that when you speak, it just happens. So you know you're looking forward to something. When this starts happening, you know where you are. But then when you die to yourself every day, you know where you are too. Now, so it says here, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. What was their testimony? It takes two to testify. Witness, a testimony. See? God said it. I confess it, and that settles. That's my testimony. See? That, whatever God puts in my heart, but for that, our heart has to be ready. Brother Van says, you want healing? You have a need? So instead of preparing your mind to come to church before, take a shower, put your perfume and your deodorant, we want you to smell good. But you know what you need to prepare? It's your heart before we come to those doors. Then you can hear from God. And when you hear from God from the pulpit, because this is not, you're not listening to that Eli, because Eli, man, is not clicking here. I study all week or whatever it is so I can get rid of my mind, because I was looking for the mind of God to you. But you know if it is or not, because if something pricks your heart, then you say, yes, that is for me. So when we come to church, I think everybody gets something. You cannot tell me that you came to church and you left without nothing. That, Juan got it all. John got it all. Because that's why you came to church. There must be some, we're still here. We're still here for some reason. So that means there must be something that God wants me to get rid of. Not have to be something gross. But I got to die. The Bible says we got to die every day. Every day. I'm not talking Sundays and Wednesdays. We got to die every day to ourselves so he can reign in us. So that means next time Eli decides to open his mouth about whatever situation, instead of letting that situation push my button, I should just bite my tongue and just pray for the situation. Or pray for the... That's what the Bible says. Pray for your what? For your enemy. The Bible don't say have vengeance on your enemy. Well, he must like for me to do that because, he's doing what he wants me to do. That's what the Bible said. Do unto others what They like, well, he must like that. I'm going to do it unto him because he did it unto me. No. You know, you pray for your enemy. Those that accuse you falsely, that's what Christ did. See, when Jesus came, he didn't have no mind on his own. He was without sin. He has no mind on his own. Everything that he did, it was God showing him the way. And that is what you and I want to live tonight. But there has to be a connection, not with your brain. It has to be a connection in your heart between God and the man Eli. And the man Eli has to submit himself to the Spirit of God. And when I submit and line up with the Spirit of God, God says something and I say, yes. You know, we are supposed to be the voice for this last generation, right? The bride is going to be the voice of the resurrection. You know where that voice is going to come from? He's going to say, it is time, open mouth and talk. It was, you know, Brother Branham, many times in the pulpit, he says, I don't know what I said. His mind was disconnected completely. Why? Because God has another place of connection. And it's not through the mind. It's in the heart. And he says, but whatever you heard, go and listen at the tape. Whatever I said, do that. Because that wasn't Brother Branham. Whatever he said through me, that was my voice. And that was me. But it wasn't his brain. It wasn't his mind. It was God talking through him. You know, God don't need your mind. God don't need my mind. He needs your hands, he needs your legs, he needs your eyes, he needs everything so he can perform his work through you. But the only thing that he do not need is your brain. So, if you could take it out and leave it home before you come to church, I will appreciate it. That will be nice, huh? Yeah, yeah. But you can do it. It's a matter of an attitude. Just a matter of an attitude. And that's how it's supposed to work. Leave your brain outside. Empty yourself so God can fill you when you come to church. How God speak? God speak through your heart. God thinks through your heart. Everything that God do, he do it through your soul. And whatever there you have in your heart, that's who you are. So if God is a spirit, you are a spirit. And you cannot die as much as God can die. This will go. But this is a part of you that will never die. Why? Because in the beginning was a spirit. There's still a spirit today. And the Bible said, and Brother Banner told us, the only thing that is eternal is what? God. So if you got eternal life, it's because something is in that heart. And that is himself. Satan wanted the brain. Satan wanted the mind. But God chose to connect to you, his heart, your heart. In the beginning, I told you, and I'm finishing. I'm done anyway. About 5 minutes ago, I was done. I'm just trying to wrap this up now. Eve was born from the heart of Adam. You and I were born from the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not from the brain, not from all of, but we're not a different creation. We are not even a creation or a sub-product. We are part of God. God emptied himself in Christ, and Christ emptied himself on what? What part he emptied? Not this one. This one that is in here. And this part is eternal. So we cannot die as much as God can die. You cannot take God to the grave because he will raise us up. Amen. I'm done. Stand up. I was kind of sick last week, and I was telling Brother Jonathan, and he said, oh, you're feeling bad, so that means your sermon's going to be short. I said, well, that's not what I mean. It means that I have to work a sweat so I can work all the toxins out of my body. Amen. When you worship God, don't worship God from your mind. Of course, you got to use your eyes, but you don't have to use your mind. Oh, of course, you have to read, but you don't have to think. How many of you can read without thinking? I did. That's what I got F in school. I read and never understood what I was reading, so it can work. You can read. You don't have to process it through your mind, but you can let it drop into your heart. That's what it needs to go. That's what the Bible said. Sing, and sing with what? With understanding. Not with your mind, but with understanding when you sing. When you come to church, when you go to work, when you go to school, wherever you go, let him have his way. All the way. Walk in the Spirit, move in the Spirit, eat in the Spirit. It is possible? Yes. Why? Because he that started the work, it is not your work, it's not my work, it's not Love Divine, it is not Brother Doug's work, it is his work in you. And he said, I started that work and I will finish it. And God is not a God that can't lie. Yes, sometimes I make mistakes, but he says, get up, because I started that work and I will finish it. Unconditional. It's in a conditional. All I have to do is surrender myself to him. Surrender this and let him use it in any way he wants to use it. Because that is what he wants. He wants to manifest himself through us. But he needs full control. You know why sometimes people don't get what they want? Because they don't believe. That you don't believe with your head. I just read to you, you believe with what? With your heart. And when God pricks your heart and says, that promise is for you, your mouth said, yes. Because once you hear the first witness saying, it's yours, then the second one has to say, yes. We have to agree together. You have to agree with the word in order for that word to come to pass. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again. Thank you for this opportunity. Father, thank you for this time with you. I just want to tell you how much, Father, we love you. Father, how much we desire that you have your way in our life. Father, as Christ prayed that prayer, when they asked him, Charles has to pray, he said, let your will in heaven be done in earth. So your will in my life is what I want to do. My desire is to do your will. Father, help me be sensitive to your Holy Spirit every day when I walk, when I move, when I go to work, wherever I go, let me be sensitive. And to be sensitive to your Spirit, I have to be walking in that Spirit. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in life that even we forget to pray. Sometimes we even forget to read our Bible. Even those things are minor, but it has a big effect in our lives. Father, our desire is to full surrender our life to you so you can have your way in our life. We ask you to forgive us when we have faltered, Father. Forgive us sometimes when we do something that is not pleasing to you. Father, we want to please you every day, every moment, every minute. We want to please you, Father. Yes, I know we are a dual person. And sometimes, Elijah, the man, we set things at work and do things, but those things are needed to. Nothing sinful. But in order to do my work, I had to do certain things. I was educated to do certain things. I had training to do certain things. Jesus was a carpenter. When he was creating a table, when he was hammering, when he was doing this cutting, that was Jesus the man. That was in the presence of Christ. That was in the unction doing that. But that wasn't the sinful. That's the thing that he needs to occupy. We occupy. We had to. But that's Eli, the man. But still, directed by your Spirit, doing the right things. If you're going to be, if you are hard to do a job, then do it well. Do it as unto the Lord. That's what the Bible said. Don't try to scheme or to see how much you can get by with. No, even in the flesh, we can fulfill your word. Well, Father, we thank you for your rich and abundant word and love in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for choosing us, calling us. Thank you because you're shaping us and you're molding us to that image, that spirit that is you, Father, from the very beginning. The Spirit of God is all over the world, all over the universe. There is that Spirit that created for him, through him, all things, even ourselves. Father, now we ask you to be with our pastor and those that are our brother Figueroa and those Constantine family, Father, those that are being sick and afflicted tonight, Father, we pray, Father, that you can go, the Holy Spirit will go and minister to those families. Father, we love you and we love each other. Father, and tonight, we want to give you all the honor and all the glory that you deserve because you are worthy. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask you all these things. Amen. And amen. Change my heart, oh God. Make me ever true. He's the only one can change your heart. Change my heart. That's the only true change, is him changing you. Let I be like you. That's my desire. Hey. Now, Father, help me. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. Change your mind. You need to change your heart. Make it ever. And then you can overcome your mind. Change my heart.